Turning once again to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're just reading one verse and then committing ourselves to the Lord in prayer. And that verse is verse number 18. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And the Lord says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this very clear declaration of the Lord. We meet today as his church. We thank thee, O God, for the teaching of Scripture that shows us how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, shows us the purpose of the house of God, shows us, O Lord, that the house of God is all because of the work of Christ. And we pray, O God, today that thou will open our hearts and show us what our attitude ought to be towards the church and how we ought to love it and care for it and seek to protect it. We pray, O Lord, you'll bless this church. We pray, Lord, you'll bless this congregation. We thank thee for those, Lord, who labor among us. We thank you for two sisters, Lord, who've labored among the children for so many years. Thank thee for their faithfulness and their service. Thank you for those who continue to labor among the boys and girls. Thank you for our elders. Thank you for our committee men. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who prays for this work. And we pray, Lord, as we study the church today and in coming days, that, O Lord, thou wilt give us high views of this. This is thy church. It's thy bride, precious in thy sight. And help us, O Lord, to do everything we can to be a blessing in it and to build it up. I pray, O God, that you'll protect us from every attack of Satan and the evil one. Lord, we know it will come, but we thank you for the promise the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O Lord, help us to march forward as the church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, should there be one in this gathering, and they are not true members of the church of Jesus Christ, we pray, O Lord, you'll open their hearts this morning, that they will call on the Lord for salvation and be saved, born again of the Spirit of God, be brought into the church. We ask these things, asking thee, tempting me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit, I pray, and give me help to be faithful to this congregation and to thy truth. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen and amen. My desire over the incoming weeks is to preach upon the church of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many different avenues that we could go down when we think about the church. We could think about its problems, and we will be looking at that. Its power, its praise, its practicalities, its purpose. There's so many different areas that we can study. But as we think about the word church in Scripture, we find that it is mentioned 111 times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. We are in the New Testament church. And here in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, we have the first mention of the word church in the Bible. Now, there had been gatherings together where people worshiped God, and in effect, that was the church coming together to worship the Lord. But in using this New Testament language, this is the first time that the Lord mentions the word church. Now, we need to look at the context in which we find this verse for it to make sense. First of all, in this passage, we find that there's a people of unbelief. They're called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, verse 16. Verse number 1 of chapter 16. They came tempting and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Do you know there's still people today in this world, and they're just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They will come and they say, "Well, you know, if I had a sign, then I would believe. If I had some big wonder manifested before me, then I would become a Christian." You know, Jesus was the sign of that era. Jesus himself stood among them. He performed miracles. The word had been given, and yet they did not believe. You see, the problem was not that they needed a sign. The problem was the sinfulness and the hardness of their heart. They were sinners in love with sin, and they had no desire to be saved. And that really was the root of the problem. And if there's someone this morning saying, well, I would need a sign, or I would need a miracle, or I would need some big wonder, and then I'll be saved, friend, that's a sinfulness, and that's a wickedness of the heart. Look what the Word of God says in verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. It's a wicked thing. And here's the reason. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, or Jonah. And he left them, and he departed. There shall be no sign given unto this generation other than the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, what was that sign? Well, if you turn with me to Jonah and chapter number 3, here you will find what the Word of God says. In the book of Jonah and chapter number 3, we read these words. The Lord is speaking to Jonah the second time, verse 2. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now what did Jonah do? Jonah came into the city of Nineveh, and according to verse number 2, he preached the preaching that the Lord bid him. In other words, he delivered unto them the word of the Lord. And when we come to verse number 4, we find that he preached unto them about the judgment of God because of sin. And therefore, what the Lord is saying is this. The sign of Jonah's day is the same sign as this day. The sign that is shown to sinners for their conversion is indeed the word of God. The word of God is enough. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the gospel to deliver and to transform and to see saved the vilest of sinners and the worst of offenders. And therefore today we don't look for special miracles. We don't look for special wonders. We preach the word of God because that's enough for the salvation of precious souls. Notice the result of the preaching of the word of God. Verse number 5. And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. You see, they preached the word of God, and the people who heard the word of God, they repented from their sin. And they showed that repentance by a change of lifestyle. Instead of the luxurious garments they had worn, or the comfortable garments they had worn, they put on the itchy sackcloth, and that was to show them that they were to be troubled over their sin. And inwardly they were troubled, and outwardly they were itching and scratching, and it showed physically the inward working of the conviction of the heart. They were grieving over their sin. It wasn't because Jonah came and did a miracle. It wasn't because of some great wonder or sign. It was because he preached the word that God gave him. And thank God the result of God's preached word is that those who need to be saved and those for whom Christ has died will be saved. Let me ask you a question this morning. You've heard the word of God. You've seen the sign. You've heard the gospel. You know the truth. You know, should God call you from the seat this morning, that you're not saved and it's going to be hell for all eternity. Friend, will you not believe God this morning? Will you not turn from your sin that's taking you downward? Will you not turn away from your sin that offends a holy and a righteous God and believe in the word of God that has been given? And while there was an unbelieving people there, thank God there was a man of faith. For if you turn back to Matthew chapter 16, you read on about a man, and his name is Peter. And Peter said in verse number 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's what the Lord says. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And here we see a principle of faith. It's given by the Lord. The Lord reveals unto the sinner the need of their sin. The Lord reveals unto the sinner Christ as Savior. The Lord reveals unto the sinner the desire and the need to be saved. And Peter's heart had been opened by the Father in heaven. Friend, if you're going to pray for these services, if you're going to pray for these meetings, if you're coming tonight to 6 o'clock prayer meeting, then I want you to pray that the Lord would open the hearts of the sinner. Because if the Lord doesn't open the hearts of the sinner, they will never be saved. What did this man say? He said, "Thou art the Christ." He was declaring that he believed the Lord Jesus Christ was the one promised right from the Garden of Eden. Promised right through the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Promised in the days of Daniel. Promised even in the days of Noah. And right through the Old Testament. He was the promised Messiah. Oh, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament, but they couldn't see because of the blindness of their sin that Christ was the one who was promised. Not only did he say that he was the Christ, but he said, "Thou art the Son of God." And that was a declaration that he was the Son of God and God the Son. In other words, this was deity standing in their presence. Thou art deity, the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life. A friend, today there are people who seek to preach a gospel, but they do not give Christ his eternal sonship. And in doing so, they do not preach the gospel at all. Because if he is not God, then he cannot be our Savior. He was not just a man. Thank God he was a man. But he was not just any man, he was a God-man. Fully God and fully man, our Savior. The only one who can save sinners. But notice he said something else here. "Thou art the Son of the living God." And you see, over there in Israel, as still as the same throughout this world today, there were people and they worshipped idols. And there were people and they bowed down before statues of wood and stone and they worshipped them and they trusted in them for peace with the gods and for peace in the afterlife. But here's the difference between the God that we preach today. He's a living Savior. He's alive today. Oh, you can go to the prophets of old, and they're in the tomb. You can go to the prophets of the other religions, and you know what? You'll find there's a grave there, and there's a body there, and the tomb is occupied. But we can go to Jerusalem. We can go to the Garden Cemetery. And we can walk into the tomb. We can see it's empty today. You know why? Because he's a living Savior. Friend, that's important. We don't ask you to come to some dead person. But thank you, thank the Lord, we invite you to come to the one who has died, has risen again victorious over death. Praise the Lord, that means we can face death with victory. We can face death knowing that the final sting has been taken out of death because our sins have been forgiven and death is simply a passageway from time into the presence of God in eternity. Because he is our living God. But then as we come down to verse number 18, we find something very important here. "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to notice just a couple of wee thoughts as we draw our time to a close this morning. First of all, I want you to notice in this verse that Peter had acknowledged Christ before the gathering that day. And you know what? Christ then acknowledged Peter. "You know, him that honoureth me, him will I honour." Simon publicly professed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord turned round and the Lord acknowledged him. "Thou art Peter." He knew him by name. See, friend, on that day when we stand before God, the Lord will acknowledge those of his children by name. Praise the Lord, there's nothing to fear on that day because the Lord knows us by name. But oh, what a tragedy for those who die in their sin and to hear the voice of the Savior, of the Judge, of the King of all the earth to say, "I never knew you." Oh, yes, he knows all about you, but there was not that personal relationship where he was your Savior. But then there's something else about this. It says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." You know, this is a verse that's been misunderstood. It's been a verse that's been misused. It's been a verse where an entire religion has been built upon it. And friend, it's because of a misunderstanding of this verse. The Greek word for stone or for a rock, is the word Petros. And whenever we look into the Word of God, we find that what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying is this: thou art Peter, and that means a stone or a small rock. Thou art Peter, a stone or a small rock, Petros. And then he says, upon this rock, Petra. You see, there's just a change of letters, but it's important to know what the Lord is saying. He said, thou art the little rock. And then he said, I am the rock. I am the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Roman Catholic Church would teach that Peter was the first pope, and the church was built upon him, and the church depends upon him to the degree that he is infallible. But friends, that is not the truth. The Lord did not build the church on Peter. The Lord did not build the church on the man who was going to deny him some months later. The Lord did not build the church on a man who was fallible and he knew what it was to fail and to fall. No, the Lord built the church on himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a perfect one. He is a holy one. He is a sure foundation. He is a solid foundation. And those who build their life upon Christ, thank God, are safe eternally. You know, the rock is a picture that the Hebrew people and the Jewish people would have been very, very familiar with. Remember the rock in Horeb that was smitten and the water flowed out of it to give them drinking water? What was that a picture of? It was a picture of Christ, the one who was smitten and from whom flowed rivers of living water. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust. Psalm 27:5, he shall set me upon a rock. Psalm 28, verse 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And whenever you read the writings of Peter in the New Testament, at no point did he ever attribute the New Testament church to himself. In fact, he called it the church of God. He spoke to the saints who were in Christ Jesus. And therefore, friend, thank the Lord, the church is built upon Christ. And therefore, I want us to look at this little statement, and it says, I will build my church. He is the sole king and head of the church. And it was wonderful this morning when our brother David was praying down at the front. He quoted that in his prayer. To Christ, the only king and sole head of the church. And that was what I've written down already to say this morning. Because you see, the church has been purchased by him by his blood. The church is protected by him. And the church is precious to him. See, friend, the church is not the building that we're meeting in today, although that's used legitimately in our language and culture today. The church is those in this gathering who are the saved of the Lord Jesus Christ, born again of the Spirit of God. You are the church. And you know the church is purchased, it is protected, and it is precious to him. And I'm going to say something. It's a very dangerous and serious thing for someone to lift their hand against the church of Jesus Christ. It's a very dangerous and serious thing to lift their voice against the church of Jesus Christ. And we know there's a great attack and there's a great onslaught in the world today against the church of Jesus Christ. And what an awful day of judgment it will be to stand before the Savior and to have to give an account of hitting out verbally or even physically against those who belong to the Savior, those who are precious to him, those whom he loved so much that he went all the way to the cross. Friend, because it is the church of Jesus Christ, and he said, I, we therefore must know God's will for the work of God here. And in your prayers, I ask you to pray for myself and Hannah, but I also ask you to pray for the elders of this congregation because they have the spiritual oversight of this people. And friend, we have to make decisions. And our desire is that our decisions will be made according to God's revealed word. Because we want to help the work of God. We want it to prosper. And friend, if we go outside the word of God and try and do something contrary to God's truth and God's standards, we will harm the work of God, and God forbid that that would ever happen. But we are men. And we need you to take us upon your hearts, and we need you to pray for us, because this is God's work, not ours. And then it says something else, not only to say it says, I will build. Build. You see, God giveth the increase. We thank the Lord for preachers. We thank the Lord for Sunday school teachers. We thank the Lord for those who knock the door and invite people to God's house. But remember this, it's the work of God, and only God can truly prosper the work. You know, I could go and I could guilt someone into making a false profession. Friend, that's not building the church of Jesus Christ. That's toying about with people's souls. But I'll tell you, see, when the Lord saves, there's a change in that person. When the Lord saves, they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that stone is brought into the spiritual church, and it's built up a little higher until one by one the last stone is brought in, and all whom the Lord desires to save are saved, and they're safe. And then the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. But you see, it's a work of God. I thank the Lord for the privilege of standing here today and in future days in his will before you. But I know this, the Lord doesn't need me. The Lord can build his church by whatever means he desires. But I thank the Lord he's called me here. And my desire is I will be usable in his service. Not only does God give the increase, but I love the truth in God's word. He will complete what he has begun. That which he has begun, the good work that he has begun, he will complete. Friend, the church hasn't completed yet. We could think of this in the universal church, where all those who have been, who need to be saved, all of those for whom Christ has died, they're not all gathered in yet. There's nations that haven't heard. There's people still today that are not saved. Friend, we could think about it in the context of the local church. The work isn't finished yet. We're still here. There's still pews here to be filled. There's still members of our family, friends that we work with, that we would love to see saved, and they need to be saved, and therefore the work is still going. But the Lord has commenced the work here, and thank God he will complete it. The Lord will continue to build the work, and you know what? Then he'll present his bride faultless and beautiful before his heavenly Father. Thank God he will save those for whom he has died, and that work will grow. I love that passage in Acts chapter 2. It says, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. We need the Lord to add on to the church. Not that we would say, oh, aren't we wonderful? But that we would say, hallelujah, the purposes of God are being fulfilled. The work of God is prospering. The church of Christ is building. The Lord's name is being glorified. And precious souls are being saved from the grasp of the devil. Oh, may the Lord build his church. Notice that little word, it says, I will build my church. I will. You see, God will not fail. It's not a waste of time standing here preaching. It's not a waste of time to go to Sunday school class. Not a waste of time to teach the tots even in their very earliest years. Not a waste of time to stand in the open air. You know why? Because the Lord will do a work. Praise God, he'll do a work. He will be victorious. He will fulfill his promises. And just very briefly, and with this we're closed, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, there will be attacks from without against the church, universally and locally. And there'll be attacks against our congregation. And friend, that's persecution. But then there may be attacks from within. There may be attacks from within. And while the attacks from without are persecution, you see, attacks from within the church of Jesus Christ, that's destruction. Because it doesn't build up the work, it tears it down. And there will be difficult circumstances to face. Already this week, I've been with families in difficult circumstances. And times those difficult circumstances can come, and the devil can come and seek to discourage people and take their eyes off the Lord. To be overwhelmed by their grief rather than looking to the Lord who's able to sustain them. But friend, whether there be attacks from without or whether there be attacks from within, or whether there's difficult circumstances for you and for me to face individually and collectively, thank the Lord, the church will prevail. God's work will still go on. And friends, someday the entire church, the entire body of people who've been saved by the grace of God, they'll come through attacks and difficult circumstances and trials and tears, but thank God those things will pass away someday. And we'll enter into glory to abide with him forever. You see, the Lord will build his church and the Lord's church will prevail. Therefore, this morning, in conclusion, I want you to do some things practically. First of all, pray that the Lord will fulfill his promise here in Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. Not that the minister would build the church. Not even that the congregational members would build the church. But that the Lord will build his church. Pray that you'll be a blessing in the work, an encouragement, a help, a builder up in the work of God, ready to do whatever your hand would do with all your might. A friend, pray that the church would have the effect that it had in the book of Acts. And in Acts 17, we read these words. Here is the accusation made whenever they pointed the finger at the Christians in those days. These are they that have turned the world upside down. I believe some of God's people, yes, you know that you need to be saved, and you have a desire on some level to see the work of God prosper. Friend, I don't honestly believe that God's people understand what a mighty, powerful force and influence and impact the Church of Jesus Christ can have in our community. Because if you did understand, you'd be at the prayer meeting crying out to the Lord to bless us. We want to be known as those that turn this community upside down. Living lives of holiness. Witnessing one-on-one to our family and friends and seeing them won by Christ. Going and getting the lost and bringing them in. Making an impact in this town. Not going the way of the world. Not being ungodly. Not being one thing one day and another thing the next, but being God's people, God's church, God's bride. Pure and holy and beautiful. And I trust and pray as we look at the practical aspects of the church in the next few weeks, the Lord will bless us and the Lord will encourage us in the days that lie ahead. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. If you are a believer, you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You pray that God will bless you in the work of God. Friend, if you're not saved this morning, I say this lovingly and I say it tenderly. You're not part of the Church of Jesus Christ. But thank God this morning the gospel's still true. And thank God this morning whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you bow your head now and pray, Lord, save me. Bring me into the family of God. Bring me into the Church of Jesus Christ. Wash me in your blood and make me clean. Then today, thank God, you will come into the Church of Jesus Christ. Into the family of God. You will be a child of the King. Father God in heaven, we pray you'll take what has been of thee this morning. Write it upon hearts. O Lord, we pray that we will think well of this church. We pray, Lord, we will love it with all of our hearts. We pray, O God, we'll seek to protect it. We'll seek to pray for it. Pray, O God, we'll seek to be workers in it and those that will, Lord, make an impact in this community. O Lord, we pray that this church will affect our families. Pray it'll affect our work colleagues, our neighbors, this town. O God, give us a voice, we pray, the voice of the Lord among us. And we ask you as the gospel goes forth, O Lord, precious souls will be saved. Build thy church, we pray, and help us, Lord, to be a part of the blessing. Save those who need to be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen.